So this week is Parshas Vayelech, and it's one of the years when the Sovn and Vayelech are separate. Okay, just Derech Agav, the Simin went on the Sovn and Vayelech together and went on the Sovn and Vayelech separate. The Simin is Pas Bag Vayelech. Pesach, Pas, from the Lashon of Pasos Isopitim, the Lashon of breaking into pieces. Bag is Beis Gimel, Monday or Tuesday. If Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Monday, the first day is a Monday, the first day is a Tuesday, Vayelech. Pas Vayelech. The Vayelech is broken off, Vayelech is separated from the Tzavim, and Vayelech is separate. If Rosh Hashanah falls out any of the other days of the week, then the Tzavim and Vayelech go together. Only if Rosh Hashanah is on a Monday or a Tuesday, are they separate. And the reason is obvious, because we have an extra Shabbos in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. The Tzavim is always a Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. If we have two Shabbosos, one between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and another between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, so we have to have two parashas, Vayelech and Hazinu. If there's only one Shabbos between the two, when some Vayelech are together prior to Rosh Hashanah, and the one Shabbos is Hazinu. This year we have this week Vayelech, and next week Hazinu, so Vayelech is separate from Nitzav. Pasuk Beis, Vayomer Aleihem ben Meya ve'eschem shana noichi hayom. Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to Bnei Yisrael and he says, I'm 120 years old today. I can't enough kayach anymore to go in, to go out. Actually, Rashi says it's not the pshat. It means I don't have rishus because Yeshua has to take over. I can't anymore be the one to lead Kali Yisrael to go out. Hashem omar elai, and Hashem said to me, Lo'isavar es yadin hazeh, that I will not cross over, I will not go over the yadin. So no, he mentioned this brought in the past, but it's very apropos. Shalom, we come around and says, the Neya v'esm shana noichi hayoim. I'm 120 years old today. Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching us how to answer back, how to fight back against the Yetzer Hara. Sometimes when the Yetzer Hara comes to you, you have to tell the Yetzer Hara, I'm 100 years old. Leave me alone. And sometimes when the Yetzer Hara comes, you have to tell him, I'm 20 years old. I have koiches. It depends what the Yetzer Hara is trying to do. If the Yetzer Hara comes and he says, do an Aveira, go ahead and do the Aveira, do what you're not supposed to do, give in to your Tivus, tell the Yetzer Hara, leave me alone. I'm 100 years old. I'm old. I don't have any Koichas anymore. I don't have any Koichas for your Aveiras, for your Tivus. Leave me alone. Ben Meir, I'm 100 years old. On the other hand, if the Yetzer Hara comes to you and he tries to stop you from doing a mitzvah, why wake up early in the morning to learn? To say, Slichus, early in the morning, it's too early, I'm tired, I have no koiches. You have to tell the Yetzer Hara, Ben Ezra, I'm 20 years old. I have koiches. Why are you bothering me for? I'm full of koyach, ready to go. Ben Meya ve'esm shana noichei yoin. I'm 120 years old. Sometimes you have to answer back to the Yetzer Hara, I'm 100 years old, leave me alone, I don't have koyach. And sometimes you have to answer back to the Yetzer Hara, I'm full of koyach, I'm 20 years old, leave me alone, I'm going to go ahead and do the mitzvah. Of course, a person has to know how to use it the right way. To mix it up and use it the wrong way is not what the pasuk has in mind. The Meya v'esm shana anoichi hayoi. Aseres v'mei tshuva. This week is called Shabbat Shuva. The Haftarah Shuva Hashem Lekecha. From the Arizal, it's brought down that the word tshuva is spelled tof shin vav veiz and a hay. And the first letter, these letters stand for five psukim in Tanakh that teach the person the proper derech, the proper way to behave. The Tav stands for Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha. A person should be complete, Tamim with Hashem. Like Rashi brings down in Parshas Kedoshim, Vayachkar Achahos, since a person shouldn't worry about the future, he shouldn't go look at the simonim, a person has to be Tamim, trust, faith in Hashem. The Shin stands for Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samit. A person always has to picture as if Hashem is standing right in front of Hashem. But frat when a person davens, a person has to have in mind Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samit. The Vav stands for Yahafto Riacha Kalecha. We know that, of course, there's always been Adam Makoim, Ben Adam Machaveiroi. A person who's a tzaddik, Ben Adam Makoim, Ben Adam Machaveiroi, has a lot of tshuva to do. Part of tshuva is v'ahavta l'riyacha kamaicha, having avas yisrael and caring for another person. The beis stands for b'chol derechecha da'ehu. In all of your ways, all your actions, know Hashem. Whatever you do, whatever situation you're in, wherever you are, know that you're standing before Hashem and know what's proper to do, what's not proper to do. And the hay stands for Hikoin Likras or Kech Yisrael, a lotion of preparation, preparing yourself to greet Hashem. A person always has to be prepared to do what Hashem wants, to praise Hashem, to thank Hashem, and to do mitzvahs, to learn, always be prepared. Shuvah, a person does these five components. Tomim Tim Hashem Alkecha, Shivisi Hashem Nedisamid, V'ahavta Riyacha Kamaicha, V'chol Derechecha De'eyu, and Hikon Kresel Kech Yisrael, that is, symbolizes Shuvah. Shuvah is not only B'nod Mamakon, it involves B'nod Machaveroi, also in Fakert. A person who insulted somebody or had a machaikas with somebody needs to ask mechila, and he's not forgiven. Actually, fayis yirats his chaveroi until he asks mechila, is mefayis his friend. Okay. In Yonah the Yomer, we're holding a service of Tshuva already, Erev Yom Kippur, and Mekodesh. The famous mashal, which we said over many times, but I think it's one of the most powerful mashalim that we said over in any of the years. The famous marshal. The king and the son have a falling out, and the king has to banish his son from the palace. And the king sends his son far away, and the son goes out on his own to make his own way in the world. And the son was used to having all his needs and desires fulfilled, suddenly finds himself without too much money in his pockets. And he has to work for a living. He has to go and find a job. He doesn't have much skills in the real world, like they say, what to do. And he ends up taking a job in a coal mine. He ends up working in a coal mine, digging coal. And it goes on for a year, and day in and day out, he goes down into the coal mine, and he digs coal. And of course, every night he comes home, he's all black from the coal. He needs a good shower to clean himself off. He can't always manage to clean himself up, and sometimes for days on end, he walks around filled with the soot and the coal from the mine. And that's the life the king's son lives. By Hiyayoyim, one day he hears that the king is coming, the king is passing through this town. And the son decides he had enough. He's going to make up and apologize to his father. He had enough, he can't live like this in the coal mines. It's not the life he dreamed about. He'll apologize to his father, and he wants to go back to the palace. And he's all excited, and he's working in the mines, and he hears the king is coming, the carriage is coming. He runs out of the coal mine, doesn't have a chance to change his clothing, to wash himself up, and he comes straight to the main path, the main street of the town where the king's carriage is passing through. And as the king's carriage is driving through, he runs up to the carriage and says, "It's your son, I'm here." And the soldiers look at him, and the king looks at him and says, "We don't recognize you. Who are you? You're not my son. I don't recognize you." And the soldiers push him away. And the son, "It's me!" And his father doesn't recognize him because he's all black and dirty from the coal. And the son is devastated. This is his last chance that he had, his only chance that he had for his father to save him, to make up with his father, and they're pushing him away, and he starts crying. And as he cries, the tears fall down his face. And as the tears fall down his face, they start to wash away the coal and all the dirt and the black that's on his face. And as he's crying, it washes away the black on his face, and his father recognizes him. And as the tears cleanse him, his father recognizes who he is, and he calls his son. The nimshel is obvious. Doesn't need much of an explanation. A whole year round, we're in the coal mines. We're black with the averis that we did and things that we shouldn't have done. Everyone knows which particular nyanim they were nichshalin. And we're black. It comes Rosh Hashanah. Take us back. And we're dirty. We're clean. The Malachim push us away. Who are you to come? The Kisei HaKovid. You're fools. You are various. Shari Demoy Slaninu. The gates of tears are never closed. A person starts to cry. Little crying. A person feels bad. A person feels sorry. And starts to cleanse him. And as the tears start to cleanse, the neshama start to cleanse the person. Oh, now we recognize who he is. This is a Yid. Yiddish and Neshama, oh, let him come close. Let him come to the Kisei HaKavod. Let him come before Hashem. Tears are very powerful. A little tears can wash away and cleanse the Neshama, physically, spiritually. The Rebbe Sadja Goyen writes that one of the reasons of Tekiyas Shofar serves as an announcement to the world. It's a Medar to the whole world that from right now, Rosh Hashanah, until Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur, it's a Shas HaKosher, it's an opportune time to do tshuva. The gates are open. The Shofar announces to all of the inhabitants of the world that the gates of tshuva are open, and a person has 10 days in which to take advantage of the opportunity and to do tshuva. We have the Aseres, who made tshuva. And Aseres who made tshuva is an opportunity. And instead of letting it slide by, letting it go by, it goes by fast, and everyone's tired, and we have a different schedule, but we have to use the opportunity wisely. And like somebody once said, Slichus, we say Slichus, we daven. But is the Baruch Sha'am any different in the Aseres Mei Tshuva than the Baruch Sha'am is the whole year round? Is the Yishtabach any different during the Aseres Mei Tshuva? Take the regular tefillahs that we say, which becomes sort of run of the mill, out of habit, and work on that a little bit and enhance it during the Aseres Mei Tshuva. Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. The Torah tells us, Klal Yisrael return ad return until Hashem Elokecha. Shmuel Shmelkam in Nicholsburg would say, the secret of tshuva is ad. Return Yisrael ad, until, ad. What do I mean the secret of tshuva is ad? Moshe, a person is walking in the street, he's carrying a big burden, a big package. And every step he takes, it's getting heavier and heavier. And he feels like he can't make it home with a big heavy package. And he's about to stop. And he sees up ahead, a fence. And he says, you know what, I'm just going to make it until that fence. And until that fence, when I reach that fence, I'll put down my package. And that gives him the kayach to move on for another minute or so until he comes to the fence. He comes to the fence, he looks ahead, and there's another fence. You know what? I'll take it a little bit longer until the next fence. A little at a time, and this way he manages to bring the package home. This is the same is true. When it comes to Torah and mitzvahs, ma'asim tovim, a person sometimes feels it's a big burden. I can't, it's too much. It's too much. I can't hold it anymore. I can't carry it anymore. Ad. I'll just do a little bit more. Learning, I'll learn an extra 5 minutes. I'll daven a drop slower. I'll come to shul a drop earlier. Ad. A little bit. I'll do just until a little bit more. A drop more. And he does a little bit more. He has the kayach to do a little bit more. The secret of teshuva is ad Hashem Lakecha. Want to reach Hashem? Ad. Little by little. Don't take too much on at one time. They compare it to somebody who's trying to climb a ladder. He tries to reach the top step right away, he falls right down. He'll miss it. He tries to jump up and grab the top step, he'll fall right down. You want to reach the top, it's one step at a time. Take one step at a time until he reaches the top. But a person who tries to take on too much at one time, not only does he miss, he ends up falling down and he's on the ground. He's worse off than when he started. Take one step at a time. And any Kabbalah improves something that a person is already doing, one little step at a time, ad Hashem Elokecha, until he's able to reach ad Hashem Elokecha. Everybody looks for Eitzis, how to be Zeicher B'Yom HaDin. If there'll be any secret shortcut, how a person can guarantee they'll have a good year, and everything will work out fine, we'd all run after it. So one common idea that runs through all of the Sfarim is the idea of having Rachmanis on somebody else. The way a person acts towards others is the way they act towards him in Shemayim. Mida k'neged mida. Mahu rachum, afata rachum. Just like Hashem has Rachmanis, we also should have Rachmanis. A person who cares for others in Shemayim, when they judge him, they care for him also. Kol merachim al abriyos, whoever has Rachmanis on people, merachim min alav min Hashem. They have Rachmanis on him min Hashemayim. To tell over the story of Shmuel Misalant, was the Rav in Yerushalayim for over 60 years. He became Rav when he was 30, very young. He was the Rav until he was over 90 years old. He was the Rav for over 60 years in Yerushalayim. And his house was open, Rav Shmuel Misalant. And he was the Rav in Yerushalayim. And his house was open literally all hours, and people could come with shaylos or problems any hours of the day. That was very good when he was a younger man. But when he became older, it took a toll, and it became very difficult that people were coming at all hours of the day to ask shaylos and for advice, to discuss the problems and so on. And the family suggested to him that he should have special hours. He should put up a sign that the Rav will be available these hours, and that's it. The rest of the day, it's, can't do it.
A schedule.
And Shmuel Misalant said, did you ever learn Chumash? What did Yisrael say to Moshe Rabbeinu? Yisrael came to Moshe And he said to him, why are you sitting here by yourself? And the whole nation is standing near you, standing by you from morning until evening. You say the same time to Moshe Rabbeinu. You can't do it. Everyone's coming to you. And what does Moshe answer? Moshe says, the people came to me to seek Hashem, to ask the word of Hashem. Shmuel Salant said, what was Moshe Rabbeinu's answer? Yisrael tells Yisrael, people came to me to seek Hashem. Okay, but still, it's wild, not minabaika the Erev. And so Shmuel Salant, just the opposite. Moshe was telling Yisrael, why are people coming to me? People come to hear the words of Hashem, the Dvar Hashem. Hashem doesn't have hours. Hashem doesn't have any set hours. A person can be mispalo b'chol eis b'chol zman 24/7. A person can be mispalo and ask and daven and plead a whole week, a whole month, a whole year, a whole day. There's no set hours. If the purpose of the Rav, of the Dayan, is to help people seek Hashem, he says, how can I be any different? How can I restrict people and stop people from coming at off hours? Mahu Racham, so Hashem is Racham, and Hashem is available 24/7. Afata Racham, I'll also have Rachmanis and be available 24/7. Okay. Meshulah Salat was able to do it. Not everyone's on that Madrega. But the bottom line is, we all have to open up our hearts a little bit. Have to open up for some, to care for others, for somebody else, and not just in our own little, in our own little corner. The biggest chus that a person can have is that he has Rachmanis on others. And when it comes in Shemayim, they judge him, he's a Rachman. They have Rachmanis on him also. But a person who doesn't have Rachmanis, he doesn't have that schus when it comes to the amending. The Sfas Emes in Tafresh Samach Beis. If you look in the last Chet Sfas Emes in Dvarim, in the back they have on the Mayadim, some sets have it as a separate chelik. It says Liam Kippur, there's a section on Liam Kippur, and it's divided up by the years. In the year Tafresh Samach Beis, Sfas Emes says the following. It says it's Sfas Emes, that we all know Erev Yom Kippur, we have a Suda, we eat, the mitzvah to eat. Since we fast on Yom Kippur, Magdim in HaSuda. We're marked in the Suda, we have the Suda earlier. Ben Yehuda writes the same idea, that Be'emes we need a Suda Yom Tiv on Yom Kippur. We can't have the Suda on Yom Tiv Yom Kippur itself. So we have the Suda, Erev Yom Tiv, on the ninth day of Tishrei Erev Yom Kippur. Says this Fas Emes, that Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luchais Achrayinois, with the second Luchais on Yom Kippur. What happened the first time by the first Luchais? The Satan came, Yitzayin Tammuz, and Irbis Oilam, he made a whole behol in the world, darkness confused the whole world, and he caused Klal Yisrael to sin and serve the Egel. Says Sfas Emes. I have no doubt in my mind, V'vadai, gam ba'acharoinois, omad ha-satan b'chol kaychoi, l'akei v'ayis nachtiyam. The Satan tried again by the second Luchais. He tried that before Moshe Rabbeinu came down to be mevabel, confuse Klal Yisrael, and to cause them to sin. But our avos was stronger over the Satan, and even though the Satan won the first round, but the first luchais, Klal Yisrael, so to speak, won the second round by the luchas achronos. The ikar about tshuva is ba'oisay makayim ba'oisay esman. About tshuva is someone who has the same nisayon in the same place, the same time, the same situation, and this time he overcomes it. Klal Yisrael had a situation again before the Luchas Achrayinois. They had a situation before the Luchas Rishayinois. The first time they failed. The second time they overcame the Satan. It says this Fas Emes, very powerful words. Ulcheinis, and therefore, Shasatan Mizgabe Erev Yom Kippurim. Since the Satan lost on Erev Yom Kippur by the Luchas Achrayinois, the Satan doesn't forget. And every year, Erev Yom Kippur, the Satan comes, with a gvura, with a shtarkeit, with being very strong in Erev Yom Kippur, l'fisha heitev charoloi asher nitzchi oisvim mezeh, because he's angry that we won him over on this day. Since Klal Yisrael won over the Satan on Erev Yom Kippur, baruchas achrayinois, the Satan comes back, so to speak, with a vengeance every year on Erev Yom Kippur to try to have people do aveis. The Satan's out on Erev Yom Kippur. And the Satan tries any which way that he can to have a person sin at Erev Yom Kippur. He knows Yom Kippur, one of the Madrega of Malachim, but Erev Yom Kippur, the Satan has Kayach. And the Sfarim bring down that the Satan tries very hard to make a person upset and angry at Erev Yom Kippur. The Gemara tells us, whoever becomes angry is like he served Avodah Zarah. The Sultan knows he won't get us to bow down to Avodah Zarah Chas V'Shalom Erev Yom Kippur. But to get us angry, the Sultan tries. The Sultan comes hard at Erev Yom Kippur. And we know Erev Yom Kippur things can get very hectic, things run late, and things don't always run on schedule, and there's a lot of things to take care of, and everything comes up the last minute, and a person could get angry. A person becomes angry, he lost it. The Sultan tries very hard at Erev Yom Kippur, but we have to remember, Erev Yom Kippur is not a day where a person comes out, it's the day of Kedusha, Erev Yom HaKadosh, and a person has to behave appropriately. And I saw a Moira Dika Maisa today. Reb Moshe Ayafroind, who was the Gaivin, the Av Bezin Yerushalayim, Zatzal, traveled to Europe with his father-in-law, and they went around to different Beis HaKvaros to see Kivrei Tzadikim. They came to Lemberg, the city of Lemberg, they went into the Beis HaKvaros, and while they were there, they saw a kever, and the Matseva on the kever said the following. Matseva on the kever said, Poi Nitman, Ploini Ben Ploini, whatever the name was, here is buried Ploini Ben Ploini, the name, Tzadik Nista. That's all the Matseva said. Here is buried Ploini Ben Ploini, who was a Tzadik Nista, hidden Tzadik. Nothing else. And of course, they were very intrigued and very curious who was this Tzadik Nista. There must be a story behind the Matseva. Every Kehila in the old days had a Sefer, the book of the Kehila, where they would write down any extraordinary events that happened in the Kehila. And it was such a book that existed in Lemberg recording previous events. Until they were able to get a hold of the Sefer, they had to track down the caretaker, and he had to have the Sefer, and they had to pay him. But finally, he gave him the book, and he said, I don't know the story about this kever, what it's all about, but if anything extraordinary happened, it's in this book. And he gave them the Sefer of the Kehila of Lemberg for them to look at. And they went through the Sefer. And they found this, and they found the story behind the Tzadik Nista. They found the following place. The Rav of Lemberg was a big Tzadik in his own right. And this Rav, besides being a Rav, was also, we'll call him a Hug Yid and a higher Madrega. And he used to fast Me'erev Shabbos L'Erev Shabbos. He used to fast the whole week, from Friday to Friday. Okay. Whether he ate at night, fine, he fasted. I wanted to preface the Maaseh by saying no questions. Let's take the story without any questions. He used to fast by Erev Shabbos, L'Erev Shabbos. And he was well respected and well liked by everybody in the town. One Friday, the Rav of Lemberg is walking through the streets. Somebody taps him on the shoulder. Turns around. And he sees a posh yid, one of the posh members of the Kehila standing behind him. Somebody whom nobody knew as anybody special. Posh yid. The Rav says to him, yes. And the posh yid says to the Rav of Lemberg, are you fasting today? It wasn't common knowledge that the Rav fasted Yom Shabbos. Me'erev Shabbos Yom Shabbos. It was not known. And this yid says to the Rav, are you fasting today? So the Rav looks at him. And before he has a chance to answer, the Yid says to the Rav, I'm also fasting today. I'm also fasting today. Okay? The Rav looks at him and realizes something's happening here. He says, I'm also fasting today. So the Rav says to him, how do you know that I'm fasting? He says, I know the Rav is fasting today. But not only that, he says to the Rav, I know you fasted yesterday also. The Rav is a little bit taken aback. Before he says a word, the Yid says to him, but don't worry, I fasted yesterday also. The Rav is getting a little bit on edge. The Yid says to him, and I know the Rav fasts May Erev Shabbos, L'Erev Shabbos. I know that you fast the whole week. He says to the Rav, you know what? I fast the whole week also. I also fast the whole week. I also fast May Erev Shabbos, L'Erev Shabbos. The Rav's looking at him, this posh Yid doesn't know much about him, he's a little taken aback. The Yid says to him, if we both fast May Erev Shabbos, L'Erev Shabbos, what's the nafkamina? What difference is there between me and you? We both fast the whole week. The Rav looks at him, and the Yid says to him, I'll tell you the nafkamina. Nafkamina is that tonight, L'Erev Shabbos, when the Rav goes home after shul, to eat a cup of Shabbos, the Rav has chalas and fish and a sudum. He says, but all he says, all I have tonight is bread and salt. I don't have ani, I don't have much to eat. All I have is bread and salt. I don't have much more to eat. The chiluk is, I have bread and salt on Shabbos, and the Rav has his bread and his fish. The Rav is looking at him. He says to the Rav, and if it ever happens that Leil Shabbos, they don't bring fish to the table. Because a cat ate up the fish, don't become angry that they don't have fish. And he turns around and he walks away. Okay? The Rav has no idea what just happened. Comes home, Friday, prepares for Shabbos, comes home from Shul Leil Shabbos, they bring out the challah, and there's no fish on the table. And he asks, what happened to the fish? They tell him a cat came into the kitchen, and the cat ate the fish. And the Rav is about to get a little upset. He's about to say something, and he catches himself. He remembers what the Yid had told him today, that even if a cat eats up the fish, don't become angry. Don't become angry. Sorry, the Yid had told him, if someone becomes angry, all his fasting a whole week is not kedai. If he becomes angry, he ruined his whole fasting, the Erev Shabbos or Erev Shabbos. The Rav is about to become angry, he remembers what the Yid said, and he frees, he stops. He realizes this is not a posh Yid. Something's happening. He calls over his Shabbos and he says, quickly run to the Yid's house. He lives all the way on the other end of town and tell him I want to see him right away. Call him and tell him I want to see him right away. The Shriach runs to the end of the town. He knocks on the Yid's house. The Yid opens the door and the Shriach says to him, the Rav of Lemberg wants to see you right away. The Rav wants to see you right away. And the Yid says to him, let me tell you a klal. Klal is that when a tzaddik nistar reveals himself to the world, he doesn't have much time to live. It's time to leave the world. When a tzaddik nistar reveals himself to the world, he doesn't have much time to live. He says, Chaval, if the Rav would have come himself to see me, I could have been the gala to him, Rosa de Araisa, secrets of the Torah, before the Patira. But now, I can't be the gala to him. The Sheikh says, I'm bringing the Rav right now. He runs back to the Rav's house. The Rav comes running, and by the time he comes, it was too late, and the tzaddik was nifter, the tzaddik nistar passed away, and he was nifter. That was the tzaddik nistar that was buried, and that was the story they found in the book, and that was the tzaddik nistar that was buried in the base akvaris. Yimashiyah, take the story any way you want. But the bottom line is, no matter who a person is, you can fast the Erev Shabbos or Erev Shabbos, you can fast the whole week, you can take on all the chumris that you have, get angry one time, it's not worth it. It undoes everything that a person did. All the matregas that a person reached, he gets angry one time, he undid it. The Yitzhara tries very hard. Because he knows that to get a person angry doesn't take too much. Especially when it's a little tense in the house, it's a little tense in trying to get the show on time, and everyone's running around, and things don't always work out the way a person wants, he tries very hard. The frat that comes, Erev Yom Tov, Erev Shabbos, between Yom Kippur and Sukkos, the Yitzhara tries very hard. If a person would remember that before he becomes angry, he would say to himself, if he served Avodah Zorah, he would hold off for a while. No one's going to go serve Avodah Zorah right away. But a person has to be careful. When all the chumras a person has, plays a major role. Avada, when you have to do tshuva, but not at the expense of and for Karen, they bring down so many nices where people had a Yom Kippur or Rosh Hashanah where they didn't expect it to happen that way. They wanted to be in one shul, or they ended up being somewhere else, or they ended up at a chayla. And afterwards, they went to a Rebbe, to a tzaddik, to complain about that, how the Rosh Hashanah was. And the Rebbe said, your face is shining, look at the schus that you had. You spent Rosh Hashanah with a chayla, and you helped them out the whole Rosh Hashanah, the whole Yom Kippur. A person never knows which schus is more, which schus will carry him through. We should all be zoicha, chsivich simetoiva, gemach simetoiva, a good event shia. We should be zoicha in the coming year to be able to learn together, be mekar Hashem shemaim barabim, and we should be zoicha mitzvah Hashem, tzmach simetoiva, and mitzvah Hashem to see Mashiach, the Korah.